Okay. Thank you, everyone. We are back online for the admin portion of our October 27th special commission meeting. We have no items on consent, so we'll move right into discussion matters with the commission on Otter Tail Power Integrated Resource Plan by in your filing. Adam. This just gets more and more interesting, doesn't it?
Right. As you know, the commission has opened up an investigation. So it would have been our first investigation into the integrated resource plan. In particular, the one I'm talking about is Otter Tail's IRP. And since that time, Otter Tail, I think it was a couple weeks ago, has written to the commission to explain to them and to get your thoughts on delaying the IRP such that they will have time to integrate MISO's recently adopted seasonal construct into their modeling. For instance, the last capacity market cleared at, so in other words, let me back up and kind of explain that a little more. So initially, historically, I should say, MISO has been planning their resources based on the summer peak. So in an annual construct. And last year, that was set at 8.7%. And now what we have is we have different reserve margin requirements for each of the four seasons. And what has come out of that is that those percentages have increased quite dramatically for the winter and spring seasons. So, for instance, the winter season has gone up to 25.5%. And given that Otter Tail is a winter peaking utility, that will have an impact on them. And they are assessing that. So, for instance, there's a solar plant that is slated in their current IRP to be added in, I think it's like 2023, 2024. That might very well not happen if and when they update their modeling. And they intend to file a revised supplement modeling by the end of 1Q of next year. And so they are proposing that we hold off on our investigation until which time they have an opportunity to update their modeling runs.
Adam, their original modeling for this IRP was based on the annual planning reserve margin?
Right.
And was that at like 8.9%?
Yeah, 8.7%. Yeah.
Okay. Well, personally, I think it's really important that they do this, and I'm very thankful that it happened before this plan was approved, especially from, Minnesota's standpoint, because they're the one driving some of these changes like the solar. And I also want to emphasize how here's where the seasonal construct will have a huge impact on improving reliability, because a solar project that you think you can count on the whole year in a seasonal construct, it has zero value in the winter. So that is going to not only Otter Tail Power, but every utility in the entire MISO footprint is doing this very same thing. And so in short order, it's going to help correct the resource planning issues in the MISO market and have a pretty substantial impact. And it will also probably force some utilities to make more investments that need to be paid for. I mean, that's the result. But it also will provide for better discussion, I think, about alternatives and some of the costs of the path that we're on of replacing the dispatchable resources with renewable power that has very limited capacity values, so you're going to have to create a lot more additional capacity in addition to all the renewable projects. So that's going to be important for everybody to weigh, including North Dakota, but other states too. So I support their request.
I just spent, well, not just the couple days at the meetings, but I don't even want to think about how many hours leading up to it, dealing with utilities not operating anywhere in this area, who were reacting to and really worried about the impacts of some changing requirements in the RTO that they chose to join. Now, with those companies that we dealt with in SPP, I can't say this, but I will say this about Otter Tail and the rest of our utilities that operate in North Dakota. They continue to talk very glowingly about what a good thing it's been to get into each of their respective RTOs. And I wondered this about some of those southern companies last week, and now I'm wondering this about Otter Tail in this case. Did they object to or work to lower the new requirements that have been adopted, or did they agree that they were necessary?
It came out of their, what they call the loss of load expectation modeling. Throughout the process of developing the seasonal construct, as well as the updated, accreditation for conventional resources, they were in support of both of those.
There wasn't a set. They didn't know, in their defense, they didn't know this number prior to that.
Right.
However, this just, the calculation is just...
Well, are they arguing that the modeling is wrong and that this is
imposing
an unnecessary burden on them going to the four seasons?
Yeah, I would say it took all the stakeholders by surprise. There was a lot of discussion that came out of these meetings, and it was not the requirements. No, I don't think anyone anticipated this.
Everyone seems so happy with their RTOs, and the RTOs conclude that something is really important and needed, a new requirement, and impose that on the membership. And the membership is just shocked and dismayed, and oh, this is going to have this huge impact. Well, what about their own planning? If in fact this is needed, then why hasn't Otter Tail been planning for this all along? What about, I realize they're a corporation, not an individual, but it kind of goes back to personal responsibility. Were they just always assuming someone else will take care of the winter problems because MISO hadn't set a specific winter requirement? And now this is some shocking revelation that completely changes everything? Or isn't this change really as much as they're making it out to be? I don't know.
That's what we'll see with their new modeling. But it probably changes their plans for Coyote. And I think to the extent that it has other companies throughout the MISO region rethinking their retirement plans, that's going to provide for a smoother transition that's more reliable whenever this transition occurs. But that's, I think, MISO's been expressing grave concerns about the sustainability of the course that this region is on. And the seasonal construct was a very important piece of their solution for addressing it. And so whether this is too extreme or not, I don't know. I just saw these numbers myself. But I will say it's a correction that I think they've been expressing a need for, and can it be moderated or mitigated? What does it mean for Otter Tail? We'll see with some of this additional modeling, but there's been a rush to retire in the MISO region, and it's It's not sustainable.
Yeah. And, well, I think it's national, not just MISO. But, so this is my point then. I hope as the process is, I'm okay with delaying it. I don't know if that changes anything. Do we kick it down the road? Do we move someone else up and do a different one further? I don't know the answers to those things. But if going ahead with the IRP on them now doesn't make sense because everything is changing in a few months anyway, I'm okay with the delaying it. But as part of this study, I want to know the answer to this. Based on my initial assessment that, in my opinion, Otter Tail pulling out of their partnership in the Coyote plant and some of the other moves they've been making just did not seem at all like a good idea to me. Now, if it's suddenly a good idea, I want to know if it's only a good idea because MISO came up with some mandate, but that mandate really doesn't make any sense, then we should be fighting that. If MISO is right, that the new mandate is an important idea, and thus things like the Coyote partnership or some other moves are important, then I want to know, where was Otter Tail a few months ago? Why didn't they figure this out for themselves?
I supported the seasonal construct in MISO because I think it was their recognition that this system operates differently. And each season, you can't just assume when you're bringing renewables in that they function exactly like the old resources. They don't, and they definitely have seasonal differences. So that's why they went to the seasonal construct. Yeah. And I think it's supported whether they've hit the sweet spot on what the reserve requirement is for those or not. That's a big question.
And I will say, from a distance, without near as much information about MISO conditions as you have, I thought it was the right move as well.
I have a question. So the reserve margin for like the winter, the 25.5, is that effective now? When is the effective date? Because it seems like that's what's triggering this request. So I want to know.
It's for the 2023 to 2024 auction. So that the auction would begin June 1st of 2023 for 1 year.
So next spring.
Right. And this integrated.
For the following year.
For the following year, yep.
So it will,
So it goes hand in hand with the current plan submitted. So there, just one more question. Mm-hmm. They requested it be, when will they have it to us by?
The end of 1Q of next year.
Okay.
So March, end of March.
Well, it seems reasonable, with this, so I have no objection.
I do think Randy raised a good point of maybe, since that's a 6-month delay, or 5 months, should we move up a different IRP and start working on that?
Yeah, I would say by the time we get the RFP issued and a consultant onboarded, it would be right around that time. So then the question is, we would have two going at once.
So the RFP process, like if we started today, it's minimum 2 months until we'll have a contractor on board. So we'd be into the December time period.
So how can we use this time in between to move forward on IRPs in general?
And then one other issue we might consider is that this issue isn't unique to Otter Tail.
True.
Xcel is updating their IRP models, mm-hmm. and their IRP cycles will probably run for 2 years. Because they have a lot more stakeholder engagement that causes them to re-spin their models. And then MDU, I forget, when they were aligning their IRP cycle with Montana's. And I think their next update is maybe in a year. But that'd be subject to check.
Well, I think we need to map it out. What are we going to do when, and how are we going to keep these on a cycle? And now we've got this big break and delay, so how does that change it? And are there things that you can be doing on the other ones to prepare for, like getting the IRPs out and, you know, or
the RFPs.
The RFPs.
Mm-hmm. We have a standard template for the RFPs. They're just going to, they take a while to get through the proper process. And then the trouble with coming up with a a plan, which, not to say we can't adjust it, but I think these kind of things are going to happen. When we have these three utilities that are all operating in multiple states that are all, not all, but most looking at IRPs as well, we're going to have something derail and mess with our timeline that's going to impact our plan. So we may want to think about if we're okay with running multiple IRP hearings and evaluations at the same time. I know our initial plan was to do them one at a time, particularly at these first ones.
Well, I think it would be helpful to see like what the schedule is for like when they'll be filing them and how we're going to propose reviewing them.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then knowing that we'll have to adjust if there's delays, but starting with something that lays out a schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is time consuming, we don't have the staff to probably do two at once. So, and then I think it would be helpful for the companies to know how we plan to process these as well, and maybe they can help us, you know, with their timing.
Right. We could do that.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks, Adam, for that update.
Thank you.
So did we need a motion or anything, or... I think it's just a consensus that
if it's
consensus, slow things down until they get that updated.
Okay. Any other discussion items that aren't on the listed agenda? Let's see here. I don't think I ever emailed you the one, did I, Steve? I had one. Shoot. Well, probably needs to be done, and it was going to be. I'm sorry, I'll mention it now, but NARU committee involvement is the second item I thought we should talk about, and I hate to say it, but today we probably need to do it because NARU is just shortly after our next commission meeting. Or we can throw it out there, you guys can think about it, we can decide at the next one. But so at NARU, most commissions split up their members' participation in their committees. There's five standing committees. And I'm currently a member and have been for 10 years of the gas committee. There's also the electricity committee. There's the telecom committee, critical infrastructure, and the environment, ERE. Right, those are the five. So, Randy, you're on telecom, right?
Right.
And then, so Sherry, so most, you're not allowed to have two commissions on one committee. Plus, it's better to split up and try to cover more ground.
I'm on electric and critical infrastructure.
Oh, you already decided this?
I have already been.
Oh, I didn't know this. Awesome. All right. Is that where you want to be? Because if you had a desire to switch to gas, I'm open to, I'm fine staying. I'm a co-chair of that, or co-vice chair. But I will just throw that out there. If you were more interested in gas, I would be willing to switch over to electric.
Okay.
And you can go to both of them, some of the committees of both of them at the next meeting and see if you have a preference or look at the agendas or whatever. I'm willing to switch if you are interested in that. Okay. Well, that was easy. Done. On to scheduling. Randy, did you want to change? Did you have a desire to change? Because I'm not going to do telecom, but I would let you have gas, and I would go someplace else if you were interested.
Maybe you should do telecom. You're on your phone a lot.
I don't want to do telecom.
What's that environment one?
Energy and environment.
Acronym, energy and environment.
Yeah. Well, you could shake things up on that one. Yeah. Think about it. They have a lot of crossover with electric. They're doing electrification, they're doing EVs, and electric is doing a lot of some of that stuff too. Gas does electrification too.
So it seems like it should be the same committee to me, sort of.
Yeah, I know, but they aren't.
I know I would do more if they had the meetings here.
Probably. I'm not going to pursue that.
Oh, thank you.
Think about it.
Contemplate.
Okay. On to scheduling. Let's see. Which one do we need to tackle first? What's the most important? Anybody have an idea? Victor? One of these was more, we wanted to get on the agenda, didn't we? Was it the Badger win?
Yeah, Badger. And we have a limited number of dates available depending on how quickly you'd like to move.
Should we take that one up first?
That would be fantastic.
Number three. What are the possibilities?
The possibilities are November 1st after 3 p.m.
I'm out that day.
Okay. November 2nd before 3 p.m.
Nope.
Yeah.
Did you check with Pamela on any of these dates?
Yes. She suggested that we
okay.
do doing scheduling.
Okay.
I tried the easy route. The 7th, November 7th, in the morning.
I'm available.
I'm available. No pressure, Randy.
Do you have any other options? I'm not just kidding around.
I do.
I can change something, but...
Okay. We have November 9th, anytime.
I'd be available after lunch, in the afternoon.
I'm available on the 9th.
I'm in.
Okay.
November 9th.
So, after lunch...
Could we do... So, I have an SPP meeting from 1 to 3
on, okay.
on the 9th, but if we could do 3 o'clock?
3 p.m. All right.
Which one even was this? The Badger?
Yep,
Badger. Yes. All right, work session, Coyote Creek Mining Company. That seems like that might be timely, too.
How about since the same is, oh, there she
hi,
is November 9th.
She moved. We're all like looking at Pamela.
We are on an exceptionally tight timeline because the 11th is a holiday and the following Monday exceeds our 30-day window to issue the order. So we need a work session the afternoon of November 8th or on November 9th, and then it will have to be on the commission meeting November 10th.
Well,
I'm available.
Do we have a commission meeting on the 10th?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. It sounded like we were all available on the 9th. But not until 3 because of Victor, and he doesn't need to participate in this. So what if we did this at 1 on November 9th?
I'm fine with that, but does that leave you enough room to get things done by the meeting?
Yes. We'll just have to review the order and compare it from the ALJ.
Okay.
And she said she would get the order to us by noon on the 8th.
Okay.
Yeah. The 9th at 1 works for me.
Okay.
Well, that was easy.
All right. That's what it'll be, November 9th at 1. Breakfast with the band. That just sounds so fun, so let's take that one up next.
Works for me. Oh, no.
January 17th.
I think there's already a hold on our calendar.
Is that a Monday, or what day is that? Okay. I'm assuming that works. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's great when you put a hold on it right away.
Perfect. That works for me.
Yep.
You good with that, Randy?
Yes, very good. I worked it out.
Oh, you picked it?
Yeah.
This will most likely be at
the new facilities. The REC building?
Not the REC building. The Coda Carrier Network.
Oh, I thought we were going to go over and see their new digs, the bands.
No, I think it will be at the Coda Carrier.
Mm. All right.
Make sure we have the location.
They didn't want to do it.
It's mostly the IEC's.
But it's their new office too, isn't it?
Yep.
Their all right, corner. Whatever. I'll have to wait for another invite to get out there, I guess. Let's see. And then the last, well, the number five is easy. I just will talk about that in a minute. But formal hearing, Victor.
So this is actually Jack's item. I'm advocacy on this case, but I'm just going to be talking a little procedural time schedule here.
Perfect.
So we are looking to get your kind of tentative approval to look at hearing dates in the April, late April to early May time frame. I know you had mentioned a desire to stay away from January through April just due to session and the complications of scheduling that happened during that time period. So if you are okay with that idea, we'll get some times put out there for you within the next couple of meetings for a hearing date in that range and the applicable sign off from the company.
At one point, we sort of talked about trying to target crossover.
We did. That may be a little challenging at this point to get the enough rounds of testimony. It's doable if you would really like to push for that, but it gives us a little more breathing room for ample time for discovery in all directions for all the parties if we would shoot for the April.
When did they file this?
I forget the date, probably July.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that advanced enough?
Yeah, public inputs. That would be a great time for public input sessions.
Okay. Well,
we don't need any kind of motions or anything.
I was
we
probably the least concerned about the needing to block off the entire legislative time period, but if everyone else is more comfortable with that, I'm fine doing that.
Just with the idea, you know, we usually schedule at least 3 days for these hearings.
Yeah.
That's challenging at best during session and all of the various meetings that pop up very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we'll work to schedule something late April, early May, and then...
We always schedule 3 days, but so often there's a settlement and we're down to 1 day. So, you know, it's like, I don't know, it feels like a long delay, personally, but...
Sure.
Anybody else have thoughts on that?
I don't know if the legislative management has approved their dates, but they almost never change them. You know, it's how the calendar year works out, which is going to be the starting day of the legislative session. And from there, they pretty much know which is the 80th day is going to be. And that only changes by a couple of days, usually one way or the other, depending on what they do with crossover and stuff. So it might be kind of known. Maybe with a business day or two afterwards. If we're going to schedule this, there should be quite a bit of flexibility on calendars that far out. I'd like to stay toward the way early part of May, because I'm aware of something else in mid-May that I don't have the dates yet, that I'm not going to be able to change when it hits. And so to the extent we can avoid that, get it as early as possible in May. And I don't know if the 80th...
Can't we do April? No?
Well... Okay, so
that's... I'll be gone for 2 weeks in like later part of May, so
I think I can too. I am too.
So,
I'm gone.
I think since that's a ways out, I think it should be pretty safe that we can get something in the first 2 weeks of May.
Okay.
But we will certainly shoot for earlier rather than later.
Let's work later very hard towards the first week of May.
So are we looking at doing public comment over crossover? I mean, I agree with Commissioner Fedorchek. It seems like if we got this in July, we haven't moved much to...
I think that would be a great time period if you would like to do that. We can find out those dates and we can bring some public input dates to you.
So I'm looking at, Jill was kind enough to bring in the legislative calendar at this point. They're looking at Friday the 24th of February is the crossover date, so 27th and 28th would be that recess. I don't know how much time we would, if that was when we chose to do the public input sessions, how much time we need after that, before the hearing. I don't see that it takes a lot of time.
No,
but I will say this, as much as it's nice to avoid the legislative session, so then they come back from crossover, then it's Wednesday the 1st.
Of March.
Yeah. So the following Monday is the 6th. The one after that would be the 13th. That Friday the 17th. That first half of March, you know, they're taking up, just like the first week or two of the session, they're taking up a lot of the easier bills again that had come over. It's unlikely that we would have our budget hearing in the first 2 weeks after crossover. I think...
Seems like we usually do, don't we?
The first 2 weeks?
No. Depends on what agencies they pick.
Feels like in the first 2 weeks at the beginning and then right after crossover, but I can't remember the crossover piece of it.
You know, I don't think it would be out of line if we could get it in the first half of March.
Yeah.
But beyond that, we could have a lot of tough hearings bouncing around that are tough to plan for. And if we do get called down for something, we just have to delay the hearing.
I just think,
that time.
You know, we're going to keep getting more stuff. And so to drag, not that we're dragging it out, but to allow things to extend like this, we're just going to set ourselves up for some bigger challenges down the road. So if we could move some, get staff working on this and get it going during the session at some point, because everybody here isn't as bombarded in session as we are.
We will be working on it during that time frame. I mean, we'll be doing discovery and testimony,
right,
drafts, that entire time period.
Is it reasonable to do it by March, though?
I think it's a possibility. I'll have to review with, you know, we have a lot of interveners in that case, so we'll have to shop it through all the parties, and it may be a possibility. So
let's keep that as an option, too, if you think it'll work.
I like that.
Yeah,
are you okay
I
with
like
that too,
plan.
Sherry? If it allows adequate time, but we don't want to rush staff or
sure.
the interveners so much so that then that becomes problematic that they didn't have time.
Certainly.
All right,
Yep.
But rushing staff, it will have been almost a year by the time we have that hearing. So,
yep.
Like, we have to be conscious
Agreed.
Of that as well.
Agreed. So for public input sessions, is there a particular time frame? And it really doesn't matter. If you would like to do those late February and then follow it up within 2 weeks with a hearing, that is perfectly fine. There's no official requirement for those.
We generally try to have them sooner than that, though.
We have in the past.
Yeah.
In the past, we've kind of scheduled them very early on.
Right.
I know different parties have raised concerns that we should either do them later or do them more often. But it's completely up to the commission how it would like to do those and when it would like to do those. Because they, again, are optional within the law.
Is our intention to do a noon one and an evening one again?
Seems to work as mm-hmm. well as anything.
One thing about a noon one during the legislature, there at lunch, and then to the extent we go beyond one, they're in session. You know,
yeah.
And then the evening one doesn't really apply anyway to them. So I don't know that has to be over crossover
right.
either. If there's time to do it a little.
You can do it pretty much any
yeah.
time,
yeah.
it sounds like. Okay.
I would avoid that last 10 days before crossover, the last 10 days or 15 days before the end of the session, because that's when all the big things are.
Sure. So do you have some thoughts? I mean, do you want to do those relatively soon, or do you want to do those out closer to hearing date?
Can you set up a schedule for the hearing, and then we can pick the
Certainly.
Public input dates from there?
Absolutely. That's reasonable.
Okay. I think that would make it easier.
Sure.
All right. That was, let's see. Oopsie. No, I packed up. let's see. That was clear as mud, right, Victor?
Perfect as always.
All right, so we'll come back the next time with real dates, right? This was just a discussion.
The earliest would be the next meeting. It may be the meeting after that, depending on how quickly I can get the parties together.
Sure. Sounds good. All right. That's all for the formal items. The last item is a scheduling matter that I kind of like to be able to talk about. It's a special honor for staff, so I'd prefer if all the staff weren't here. it's nothing, you know, related to any case or anything like that. So, but we'll continue to broadcast and everything.
This is broadcast.
So
I just have to run this on my computer.
I just wanted to. I felt this at Memorial Day that I wished like we had a more formal way of acknowledging our staff members or part of the military, but then I was like, well, it's really more appropriate for Veterans Day. So I wanted to talk to you guys. I've talked with Steve and Jill and Pamela about doing something for Veterans Day. And we have like a variety of ideas, but I wanted to see what you guys, think that we should do that. We would just recognize our staff members who are veterans or serving in the military. And then we could do potluck lunch, we could do bring your own lunch, we could provide lunch, we could do cookies, donuts, after hours, something. I mean, a wide variety of things, and we still have a couple weeks, so if you want to think about it. But like yesterday was really nice. You were not here, Randy, but Steve paid that for pizza.
That's
for everybody.
What was nice about it.
Steve sprung for pizza for everybody, and it was a really good turnout, and it was nice and fun.
For birthdays.
That was for the October birthdays. Yeah. So we could do something like that. And we could just, you know, even just, we could buy all the pizza, or we could do some other Jimmy John's or something and just buy the veterans their lunch, or
I like the idea and some time to think about what to do. And
what did we did a group lunch at one point not too long ago, and then Jill got the cookies for everybody. That was also nice. See you, Kayla. I can't remember. Was that everybody brought their own lunch? That was for the assistance day. Admin assistants.
Yeah. Did we just have everybody order in?
I think we did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's a number of options.
Right. Well, why don't you guys just think about it? Let me know what you think, and then we'll just take it from there. Or I could propose something if you guys want me to do that. I can just say, here's what I think would be fun. You guys like it, and we can go from there.
Well,
this is where I like an intranet, where we can, when we have days like this, where we can really recognize staff. It's informational. Like, I didn't know, but to be able to say thank you and do that, I think it's something to. We want to recognize those men and women who are actively serving, and it's nice to say thank you for your service. But keeping something...
Surprisingly,
I like the idea, if we want to do something at noon and people bring their own lunch and something like that, it would be great.
Or an order thing where...
People buy theirs.
We'll buy the veteran ones.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's just decide now and do that. And then we could also just... I don't know, I could make cookies or cake or dessert, or we could buy for everybody something, like cookies or bundt cakes or something like that. Ice cream.
okay with that too.
I'm sure we could get 40 or 50 cookies for, you know, not a lot each. $20 each. Okay, well, let's do
each
the
of us,
lunch.
Not each cookie.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the date? Let's look at a date.
Well, Friday's the holiday.
Right. So, but anytime, like, around that, I think we could do, right, just something that works for all, everyone's schedule. Like, could we do it on the 10th? We have a commission meeting that day, so we'll be here.
What day is it?
November the 10th is a Thursday.
That would be perfect. Because I know we have some that are with some injured people.
Oh, cool. And then the Veterans Day is the next day, so. Okay, staff lunch on that day here. And even a long meeting like today, we're done by noon, so. Okay, so I'll get the list from Steve and Jill and share with you guys who that is, and we can finalize, like, where we want to order and all that.
So then the regular staff will place their order, and then we pay for the veterans? Is that what we're doing?
That's what Randy suggested. I think it makes sense.
Okay.
You good with that or
no? Yeah, no, that's fine.
Okay.
Is an hour change enough, or should I see we have a information exchange with NSP at 1:30? Do we need to push them back to 2 or something, or do you think 1:30 is going to be okay?
I don't know. We were done yesterday by 12:45 and started at noon. Okay. So I think it will be good.
Yeah, if we're
doable.
Ready, if we're set up and ready, we don't follow the rules.
Yeah.
Okay.
And all right.
So just on the paper, we're paying for the veterans and everybody else is going back. Right.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Do we know where we're going to order from? Like, is this a Jimmy John's kind of thing where they can each order their own, or are they supposed to bring lunch from home?
No, I think we'll order in.
Do group order.
Yeah.
From
and
if
we
those
eat.
Don't want it. I mean,
yeah, they
could
bring
their
own lunch.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And if we want to order from someplace that doesn't necessarily do it like Jimmy John's does, I can order it.
We'll finalize the spot to order. Okay. All right. That's it. Thanks, everybody. All right. With that, we're adjourned.